Let us be doing it.
Love Talk Radio.
Feel the magic, baby.
Welcome to the world.
Let us be doing it.
We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ.
That dude.
Austin, the hot block commander.
How you want to end up 1 or 2 hour show? And keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level. Both with the topic. Sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five doing prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. From sports medicine to sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five nights at the round table. Five silly guys diversified and educated.
Yo! What's up, people? Hey, no, what's good? What's good? It's Thursday. You know what that means. You're once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. We're here and we're ready to do this. I'm Jimmy Williams, a.k.a. your favorite blogger's favorite blogger. And alongside me at the round table, I got my man Akil Bayon, a.k.a. Dr. Bayon, Paul Johnson, a.k.a. PJ, and Brad Anderson, a.k.a. the Hot Block Commander. Tonight we're going to talk NBA playoffs. And break down everything we've seen thus far in the first round. But before we do that, we're going to play around the HOF or FOH and also get you caught up on the hot topics of the week. As usual, we want to hear from you guys. So when we open up the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline, call in and scream at us. That number is 323-410-0012. The JW Philly Really chat room is open right now, so get in there and join the conversation. Real quick, shout out to our fellows over on the Broad Street line. Catch those guys Wednesday at 6 p.m. right on here on Blog Talk Radio. Now, Doc Ock is going to tell us who's having a birthday.
My birthday!
All right.
Yay!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. The birthday segment of the show is brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon. Now, fellas, our first birthday for the day, we have Antonio Romero, Tony Romo. Brad, what do you have on Tony Romo?
My birthday, yay!
Yeah. I know he plays in Texas, but I didn't know the boy was Mexican. What's up with his first two names?
half Mexican. Hey, Jimmy, what do you got on Tony Romo?
Yo, I think Romo is kind of nice. You know, it's a situation where he does play for the Cowboys, and, you know, everybody likes to hate the Cowboys. But I think he got game. I mean, he got game. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, if you ask me personally.
Yeah, he's 31, by the way. But yeah, I think he's pretty good. I think he's in the upper echelon. He's not the Brady. I wouldn't put him at Brady, Manning, Breeze. I think Rodgers passed him this year. But you know, I think if he gets the Cowboys to the chip, I think he can get into that level. He has an uncanny ability to bring his teams from being down in the fourth quarter, which I noticed in his early years, and even now as a Cowboys fan. So. There you go. Now, our next birthday, we have Carnell Lamar, a.k.a. Cadillac Williams, who turns 29 today.
My birthday! Yay!
Jimmy, what you got on Cadillac?
Yo, Cadillac Williams, you're going to think I'm crazy when I say this, but I think, yo, he's past his prime. Yo, I think some people peak at certain times, and I think he's peaked already. I don't know if he'll ever get back to being the same running back he was, and I'm also disappointed that his team never set him up a deal to get some bread from Cadillac, considering that was his legitimate nickname.
I know, right? Hey, Brad, what you got on Cadillac?
I disagree with the brother Jimmy, because for me, in analyzing his career, I don't think he ever had a prime.
if you say his prime, that doesn't mean he's great. It just means that it's his prime.
And it's sad because he definitely was a great talent, but he blew out both knees. And he didn't have the same surgeon as our man in Philly, who's now in Denver, the boy that can't turn the corner but runs real fast.
Yo, you think if he was represented by Maverick Carter, he would have got that Cadillac deal?
If LeBron got involved.
Yo,
LeBron,
by the way,
LeBron is the best football player that Cleveland ever had.
Yo, by the way, shout out to Dev, you know, our other War Room comrade. He's not on the show tonight. He's in Houston spreading the War Room gospel, but I got that joke from him. He told me that joke, so I don't want to steal his stuff without giving him proper citation. But, yo, go ahead, Kill.
Yo,
what you got on him, Kill?
Yeah, yo, on Cadillac, yo, he was, like, for 2 years, it's like he put, like, 100,000 miles on his knees in 2 years.
Yo, they dug him out though, yo. Real talk, but yo, the boy has so many like carries, like, God damn, like you killed the ball.
They gave him the ball on 3rd and 11. They gave him the ball on 2nd and 1. They gave him the ball on, yo.
Woo! That's Eric Dickerson stuff. I remember Eric Dickerson used to play, and I swear he got the ball every down, 3rd and 20, 1st and 10, 2nd and 18. Yo, just give Eric Dickerson the ball.
Injury,
it was like the pass the ball to Will.
Yo, his injury, I don't know if it was last year or this year, when he, like, tore his ACL, his injury was nasty, man.
Ooh.
That's why
I said he'll never get back to. But he was a productive back, Austin. Like, he wasn't a complete bum.
He was. No, I'm a Cadillac fan. I'm a Cadillac. Okay. I can't call myself a fan, but I'm a supporter. I thought he had major game.
Yeah, okay. Brad trying to get an Escalade, you know what I mean? All right, now, our next birthday is Steelers safety Troy Polamalu turns 30 today. Brad, what you got on Polamalu?
Yo, one of the nicest safeties. I think he'll go down in history behind Ronnie Lott, Ed Reed, Brian Dawkins, and maybe a few others, Wes Hopkins, Andre Waters. I know I'm drawing there, but you know, talent-wise, there's just been very few players that can affect a football game in the way that Troy can, and it can be said that he's the best player that Pittsburgh has, but he needs to stop doing those god-darn hair commercials.
Jimmy, what you got on Polamalu?
Yo, you may think I'm crazy when I say this, but I think that he may be the second-best defensive player in the entire league. I refuse to say anybody's number one until Ray Lewis stops playing the game. But and I think he may go down as being like the second greatest safety ever behind Ronnie Lott, because this dude just affects the game in so many ways when he's on the field. I know you want to say B-Doc, and I'm a B-Doc fan as well. B-Doc plays for my squad. But at the same time, this dude right here still has years left, and if he continues to be productive this way, I mean –
Production-wise, what's up with Ed Reed?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Is he better than
Ed Reed? He's not better than Ed Reed.
I didn't forget Ed Reed. I didn't forget Ed Reed, but I honestly believe, in my opinion, now this is my opinion, I would take Troy over Ed Reed. Troy is that talented of a player. And, yo, Troy is so talented that he became marketable and he plays defense. Usually in football, you know what I mean? It's like, there's only quarterbacks, or not even running backs. Most of the time, it's quarterbacks that are that marketable.
But he's marketable because of a gimmick, Jimmy, because of the hair. Ed Reed is
There's been a lot of players with long hair. That doesn't mean that he has long hair, but he's also a great player. How many players? I can name you tons of players that had long hair that played in the league.
Hey, all I got to say, I think it's like a tie between him and Ed Reed, but that one-handed catch that Polamalu made, I think a season ago or two seasons ago, an interception, I was like, yo, how can dude cover so much ground, and he catches better than, you know, probably half the receivers in the league that drop passes all the time. He catches better than the boy from Buffalo.
Yo, how did he just jump? How did he jump over the line, though, like that? Yo, he jumped over the line. Now, forget the pick. Remember he jumped over the line that play last year? He's a better tackler than Ed Reed. He's a better tackler than Ed Reed. Plus, he gets the picks. Like, yo, this dude jumps over the line and tackle cats in the backfield. Like,
Jimmy, come on, man.
That's just my opinion.
He does not get the picks. The Ed Reed came back and only played, like, 3 games last year and had 8 picks. I'm exaggerating.
Yeah. I know that, but at the end of the day, there's nothing I can tell you because you're an Ed Reed fan, like, and I know that, so it doesn't matter what I say.
All right. Polamalu
can
birthday.
Come back next year and play quarterback. You still would tell me Ed Reed's better.
Nah, there's
all
certain
right,
things you could say.
But right,
we don't
now,
have time
next,
to break down that game, so let's
go
keep
ahead,
moving.
Go ahead, let Ben go ahead.
Yeah.
Let the Ben go ahead with the next birthday.
Our next birthday, we have Candace Nicole Parker, WNBA star, who's obviously married to, I can't even remember dude's name, man. I used to play for Duke. Sheldon Williams. Yeah, so maybe soon she'll be Candace Nicole Parker Williams. She turns 25 today.
My birthday, yay!
Jimmy, what you got on Candace
Yo,
Parker?
I think it's sad because I know that she's a better female basketball player than her brother is a male basketball player, yet he makes about 15 times the amount of revenue that she generates. because that's Anthony Parker's sister.
Exactly.
And yo, she's a better player in her sport than he is in his sport.
Hey, that might be that's you're right.
I got a better one, yo. Candace Parker is a legitimate thorough John. I mean, she's not a dime, but you can actually take her out in public and feel good about yourself. So now why did she decide to date Sheldon Brown? Or Sheldon Williams, rather.
That's a great question.
Sheldon Williams' game is not commensurate to his chick. And it would be something different if he had a groupie. But he doesn't even have a groupie. Like, he has a star in his own right, and his girl can beat him.
Yo.
Come on, man.
Yo, so she's better.
Crazy.
So basically what you're saying, she's better than all the men in her life who are NBA players.
Yo, but she make like $32K a year just because her sport doesn't make any bread.
Yeah,
and that's
crazy.
Sad, man. And that's sad because she's better. She's better looking because, yo, her brother looks like paste.
Yo, her brother is not, you know, I ain't going to say that. I'm going to be quiet, man.
Yo. Hey, so that's everybody. Unless we have any special birthdays out there that we don't know about.
Of course. I killed Beha.
Doc Bay. Doc Bay's birthday was last week.
Everybody.
Shout out
to the good brother, Dr. Bayon, our co-host, our brother, our family, turns the ripe old age of 24. I don't even know the date, brother. Give me the date. Whatever the date was.
April 20th.
So happy
and
birthday.
Yo, he does accept gifts. You can send gifts through, yo. So shout out to you, Dr. Bay, on your birthday week.
And he's as good on the basketball court as his man Bumnon said. He's as good as two NBA players.
Yo, I'm getting ready to tell cats what happened to them while they were on the grind this week. On the Grind is brought to you by Philadelphia Auto Design. Go get your rim game up. Yo, it's a couple big stories I want to talk about to get you brothers, get your input on this. There's a breakaway group of mid-tier NFL players. There's about 70 of them. They may hire a law firm to get themselves a seat at the negotiation table. Now, my question to you guys, is this a chink in the NFLPA's armor? Is this exactly what the owners wanted?
What's
your opinion on the whole situation, good brother?
Of course. They sat back, and the owners are now enjoying what Sun Tzu wrote in The Art of War, divide and then conquer. And now I definitely don't feel like they're wrong for doing it, because if you look at the top-tier players that were named in the class action, all of them can afford to never make a dime of revenue ever again, and they're set for life, generation-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So these mid-tier players are kind of like, listen, the deal that was put on the table before the union decertified, some of us were interested in taking that. Matter of fact, maybe the majority of the players were interested in taking it, and because you guys are the no-name and you want to go up and butt heads against, you know, ownership, that doesn't necessarily represent the entire union's feelings. So now you're actually splitting the union apart by you being, you know, kind of selfish and bullheaded. So
It's like the haves and have-nots of the NFLPA. It's crazy because, like, it's simple mathematics. The bottom line is when you look at these teams, it's what? How many teams in the NFL?
32.
That means you have about, you know, 32 people representing teams. And how many NFL players are there?
1,580, I believe.
There you go. It's basic mathematics. So, therefore, you're going to have fractions because everybody's not making the same amount of money. You know what I mean? Like, and it's funny when you hear people say it's the millionaires versus the billionaires. Well, for the most part, that's not true. I guarantee you that more than 50%, probably more than 60% of the players in the NFL aren't millionaires.
True.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
What's your opinion, Doc Bay?
Man, that's tough because certain players are like, well, yo, we need to get paid. But then the top ones are like, yo, I'm cool. You know, I can go 3 more years without playing. But the cats that are making like $1 million a year after taxes, if they live in New York, that's coming down to like $550, and they're probably living in a nice condo and they got people they're taking care of. They're like, yo, we need to get something done quick because I need to get my check. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's a situation where this is exactly what the owners wanted, and, you know, at the end of the day, this may help us out as fans because it may bring this situation,
Jimmy,
you know, to resolve faster than possible. Go ahead.
Jimmy, when was the last labor strike? What was the last?
87.
Yeah.
87. Yo, in 87, they held out much longer than now. These dudes are soft. S-O-F-F.
Well, it's a couple things at play. For one, I mean, times have changed. Also, 87, it was them striking. They weren't being locked out. Yo, I remember 87 when they brought the scab players in, and the Redskins actually won a game with a bunch of scab players playing regular players. But anyway, it was a different situation. And, you know, you may say they're soft, but the disparity in incomes has gotten greater since then. You got cats like Tom Brady, you know what I mean, like making millions and millions of dollars, and the rest of his team, if you look at how his team is structured, who else is getting money on the Patriots?
Danny Woodhead.
That's true.
They paying Danny Woodhead a bunch of bread. You know what I'm saying?
Not only that,
Tom Brady's woman makes more than he does. Yo, the guy's probably like, come on, man. Tom Brady's one of the guys named in the suit. They're probably like, come on, man. Are you serious? You know what I mean? So it's a whole different situation, but I do agree that, you know, this show's changed. So we'll see what happens with that. Another quick story that happened while you were on the grind is a little hockey story. And I know, Austin, before you get excited, this is actually a quick thing I want to talk about because it's funny. Real Madrid, they waited 18 years to win the Copa del Rey trophy. So they won a trophy, and they're on their championship bus, which is like a double-decker. And they're partying, you know, riding through the neighborhood. And dude on the top dropped the cup.
Dropped the trophy and drove over it.
And drove over the trophy. Yo, what's up with that, man? You the hockey fan.
No, that's soccer, brother. We talking soccer.
Oh, I'm sorry, soccer, my fault. But you're the soccer connoisseur, so tell me what your opinion of this.
Oh, man. I don't even have one. I saw the tape of them dropping, and it was so big, pause, that it looked like a body dropping off the top of the bus, and then you see the bus go up and down, boom, 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 and
that just what you got happen.
Yo, I guess that's just crazy, man. I don't think that's ever happened in any type of sports championship situation where they actually drop the trophy and run over it. Is that a new entity or a new entry for the Guinness Book of World Records?
It may be. Yo, but I'm getting ready to say something that's going to piss some people off. This, to me, is why soccer is an inferior sport to everything else. Because here's the problem. These guys don't use their hands, so if you don't use your hands, things like this happen. Now, what separates us as human beings from animals is the fact that we have thumbs and we use our hands. If you don't use your hands, you're just like a damn animal. So that's why soccer is an inferior sport. So there's my whole logic behind soccer being inferior.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yo, all the soccer heads that's going to listen to the podcast or listen live and want to send me hate mail, go ahead. I love it. Yo, next story I want to talk about is baseball. Major League Baseball is taking control of the day-to-day operations of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, exactly. That's exactly my point. What do you guys think about this?
Manny being Manny.
No, I wonder how much just the divorce between the owner and his wife has to do with this, between the bread that he had to pay her versus her trying to get ownership and then not getting what she wanted. And then, you know,
well,
him just go ahead.
That has a lot to do with it. They're saying that he's, like, financially unstable in a sense. But there's several problems with this. For one, he meets all the league guidelines in terms of having enough money to have a team. Now, he is going through the divorce, and his wife wants a piece of the team. And, you know, that's the problem with these divorces. She's, like, taking, you know what I mean? Like, she wrote half his raps. But anyway, the other problem is they're mad because he got a $25 million loan. Okay? Now, he got a $25 million loan from Rupert Murdoch. And they're saying that because he's getting his loan. But at the same time, the Mets had financial problems, and the league didn't do anything. And the Mets are in more financial trouble now because they got involved with Bernie Madoff, and, you know, but the league didn't do anything. And also something else that I found out is the actual Dodgers, they tried to negotiate a big contract for their television rights, and the league didn't approve it. So you're not letting him get to the money, and now you want to penalize him for not, you know, not having the money, so to speak. So it sort of, it sounds like they basically don't want this guy to own the team. That's what
yeah,
it sounds like to me.
That about sums it up.
And his fans
are rowdy and uncontrollable.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. How about that? I didn't even think about that part. Do you guys think they got anything
to
do with it?
Yo, I doubt it, but yo, reading that story, like, homie still, you know, I mean, is in a coma and he's really close to dying.
He's a vegetable. That was just one of the rumbles though, yo. Like, it was a couple rumbles after that. Yo, one last story real quick before we move on. 166 NBA players were polled, and this was at the beginning of the season. And they ask, with the game on the line, whose hands do you want the ball in? 74% of the NBA say Kobe Bryant, who came in first place. 74%. Kevin Durant came in second place with a 6% of the league saying they want the ball in his hands. I mean, I do think Kobe's the best player in the game, but 74%, that's kind of crazy to me. But here's the thing. LeBron Ramon James came in at a whopping 0%.
Zero percent.
And this is among the peers.
I'm gonna go in a different direction than what y'all expect from me. And I'm gonna just stay with on the positive, because my mama said if I can't say nothing good about somebody, don't say nothing at all. We on the War Room have a theory that Kobe Bryant, his real last name and his genetics come from the Jordan family. We'll get into that one other day. But dude is the personification of clutch and what the best in the league has to offer. And now it's confirmed by those his peers. So it's like, it's kind of like the old saying, I'm your favorite rapper's favorite rapper.
Yo, it's
Yo,
just crazy
so
to me
up.
Because,
so
like,
LeBron, hold up. So LeBron didn't even vote for himself?
He probably voted for Kobe. No, but, I mean, to me, that's crazy considering if you ask a lot, you won't get 74% of the players in the league to say Kobe's the best player. You'll get LeBron's name mentioned. But, I mean, you know, that's just crazy that he didn't get any vote. Like, yo, he's not even mentioned. I don't even think Kobe deserves it. I think Kobe should be, like, maybe number one on the list. But, yo, like, 74%.
Not 74%.
Yeah, like, where's Ray Allen and Paul Pierce? And you know what I'm saying? Like, where's Melo?
Everyone knows. Everyone knows who their pop is, man, in that league.
Where's Melo?
I'm done.
Hey, yo, where's Jeff Green?
I don't know what to say.
Hey, Jeff Green hit like 4 game winners in his short career.
Anyway, that's enough of what happened while you on the grind. Doc Bay, take it over, good brother.
All right. And now we have our War Room family. We have our Pass the Rock segment brought to you by Bay Financial Services. And for those who don't know what Pass the Rock is, it's when our starting five vents on their chosen sports issue or reports their favorite headline of the week. Now, we have first. So I'm going to bring the ball up the court, and I want to talk about some beef that's been brewing. We have Bobby Knight, okay, famed college coach with Indiana and Texas Tech, and he is now an analyst for ESPN, and he has beef with current Kentucky men's basketball coach John Calipari. Bob Knight has shown his disdain for Calipari in the past by stating that Calipari left 2 schools on probation, UMass with NBA players Marcus Camby and Lou Rowe, and at Memphis while he coached NBA players Derrick Rose, Tyreek Evans, and others. Knight highlighted how Calipari was hired at Kentucky in spite of his past transgressions. With other institutions, that included various NCAA violations under his watch. Knight said that it is a disgrace to the game that schools continue to hire Calipari. Now, recently, Bobby Knight once again had a chance to speak in front of a bunch of people, and he said that none of the team on Kentucky's team last year went to class in the second semester, and the team only averaged a 2.1 GPA. He said, quote, "We have a situation in college basketball that really bothers me beyond anything that's ever bothered me in my career, that this idea, Kentucky, year before last, started five players in the NCAA tournament game that had not been to class that semester. And that's that one-and-done philosophy that's what we have now," end quote. Now, that statement could have been believable, but then Kentucky players came out and defended their class attendance as well as school grade information provided by the school. And when the truth came out, it was found out that Patrick Patterson actually graduated in 3 years. Freshman DeMarcus Cousins and Eric Bledsoe finished their freshman years. Darius Miller is still enrolled at Kentucky. And current Wizards point guard John Wall tweeted that he carried a 3.5 GPA last year as a freshman. Only one player on the team fit that category, and that was Daniel Orton. Now, even though Knight was wrong, in an era where sports is getting soft, you know, it's pretty good to see two coaches go at it. You know, you've all heard us talk about how, you know, players are getting soft and everybody's being so politically correct. So, you know, we can always expect Bobby Knight once a year to ruffle some feathers and take some shots at John Calipari. And with that, I'm done, and I will throw it in the post to my man, the Hot Block Commander, posting up on the block, Brad Austin.
Yeah, it's always good to see Bobby Knight still has his vitality and is willing to ruffle feathers and have an episode of diarrhea of the mouth. War Room World, what's up? Let's talk about defense. D-E-F-E-N-S-C-E, defense. Yeah, I know I misspelled it. In the NBA, defense is much different than the defense played in FIBA, college, high school, AAU, down at your local gym where you and your half-balding 40-year-old friends get to hacking. However, I want to really examine that difference. What one must first understand is that most, if not all, NBA players are such dynamic individual talents, it's very rare to find a player who can be stopped, locked down, or rendered inept for any extended period of time on a one-on-one basis. Defense in the NBA is about the team concept in totality. When you see your favorite superstar have an off night, it was usually that team that forced that, not any one individual player. However, there are exceptions to this rule. Now, these exceptions aren't guys that lock up from start to finish, but these are guys that do two things. Number one, they force inefficiency in scoring. By this, meaning that your favorite player may still get his 25 points per game, but he's not going to do it at 48% field goal percentage or on 20 attempts to get that 25. Against these special defensive mavens, that guy will have to shoot 35 to 40 shots to get 25, creating more rebounding opportunities and also messing up the offensive flow for the other team. I don't care if LeBron gets 30 if he has to shoot the ball 45 times to get that 30. Number two, these guys, much like clutch shooters, get clutch stops. There is no way you can keep Rudy Gay, Monta Ellis, Brandon Roy, Derrick Rose, Ray Allen, Chauncey Billups, Manu Ginobili, etc. from getting points in a 48-minute game. But there are situational stops that swing momentum and or ultimately win the game, where a stop simply must be had. There is no other option. Or a guy is on fire and he needs to be cooled off. This can be as crucial as clutch shooting. Now, I know most of you panhead, Richard-riding, ESPN highlight-watching, pansified lemmings only really care about offense. In fact, not even offense. You guys care about highlights and big plays and the marketed names. Well, these guys probably won't be at the top of your list of the greats, if they're on that list at all. But these are guys that opponents respect. Coaches fear and study, and teammates won't leave home without. So without any further ado, let me give you my top all-defensive team for the year. We have Rajon Rondo. I take the J out because obviously he doesn't have one. Even with his dip in production at the end of the regular season and pouting over his boyfriend Kendrick's trade, Rondo had a complete body of work that separated him from any other point guard in the league, averaging 2.3 steals amongst others. Next, at the two guard, I selected Tony Allen, a.k.a. Darskin Jermaine, a.k.a. the two for $5 hits, the blue tops, gotta go, Coolio mean it's getting too hot. If Tony had kids, he'd probably have two rocks. Now, entering this season, Darskin Jermaine was firmly planted on the Grizzlies bench. Finally, after outworking everyone in practice and showing that he can impact on both ends of the floor, Darskin Jermaine, in December, increased his minutes. Now, what we know about Darskin Jermaine is that he should not only get the nod here, but he proves he can cop the rock, chop the rock, perhaps smoke the rock, distribute the rock, and he definitely stops the rock. And now, as I'm running out of time, let me just get to the last three. Andre Iguodala at the small forward, defender for years, Kevin Garnett, perennial, and Dwight Three Heads Howard. We call him Three Heads because his shoulders, well, they're bigger than his head, but, you know, whatever. And with that, I'm done. Let me pass the rock. Who opened? Who opened?
I got it, good brother. I got it.
Jimmy.
Yo, that's a great defensive team. Yo, they probably would beat Cats like 4-0. Gil, because actually KG made a play the other day to literally win the game. He made an offensive play and a defensive play. Anyway.
Jared Jeffries is weak. That's all.
Yeah, that's definitely true. What's up, War Room World? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. The Blueprint, a.k.a. John Forbes Nash. And this week, I have to say a few words to my younger sports fans. I read an article in Philadelphia Magazine by Janine White where she states, and I quote, "Each generation thinks the one preceding it is out of touch and the subsequent one self-entitled and lazy," end quote. I felt like this was an accurate statement, and after this past week, I know for a fact it was an accurate statement. Now, I argue sports on a daily basis. Sometimes I get a good debate, and others I feel like I'm wasting my damn time. What I have realized is many of the younger generation of sports fans do not appreciate the history of the game of basketball. They act like basketball was invented by Jordan himself. Just this past week, I had two debates that reaffirmed my belief in pro-choice. After Dirk Nowitzki had a tremendous game two of the first round of the 2011 NBA playoffs, a sports fan who shall remain nameless told me that Dirk was better than Larry Bird. Now, I won't respond with resumes, because the thought of Dirk being better than Bird is downright egregious. I'll just put it like this. Bird and Magic had the two highest basketball IQs of any player I personally have ever seen play. This same sports fan then proceeds to tell me that Derrick Rose is just as good as Michael Jordan.
Woo!
Yeah, exactly. Again, I won't give you resumes. In fact, I don't feel like I should say anything. At this point in the conversation, I knew this guy was either a test tube baby, a crack baby, or he just basically had the IQ of a bar of soap. At the end of the day, it's not the kids' fault they think this way. All these kids out here, listen, it's not your fault. It's our fault. We should have taught you better. We should have told them about the history. We should have took them to the Gucci store and showed them the loafs. Instead, they learned about sports playing NBA Live or 2K or Madden. I don't know what the NBA would be like if not for the players who paved the way for a Dirk or a Derrick Rose, but I respect their contributions to the game, and I believe they would be just as dominant, if not more dominant, today as they were when they played. Could you imagine what the NBA would be like without Magic or without Bird or without Jordan? I mean, what's Alex Haley if he doesn't have roots? What's The Weeknd if he ain't knocking boots? Now, I don't want to know, but the bottom line is respect the history of the game. Now, I don't have a mercurial temperament, but sometimes when talking to idiots, I feel the need to use pejorative language. So for anyone out there who thinks it's okay to compare Derrick Rose to Michael Jordan as of April 2011, do the world a favor and get neutered before you produce another ignorant creature that walks the earth spewing nonsense. I am nice. And with that, I see Doc Bayon cutting back doors, so I throw the oop back to him.
Yo, that's crazy, man. Some of the stuff that people say nowadays regarding sports, like I was thinking,
I'm offended.
You know, the cat. Yeah, I was thinking the cat might have said like, yeah, John Wall is better than Isaiah Thomas. Look at him, he's faster. All right, now on the heels of Lakers forward Lamar Odom winning the NBA Sixth Man Award, I actually have a problem with the celebration of such an event. Coming out of Christ the King High School in NYC, Lamar was supposed to be the best thing since sliced bread, and a long list of great players to hail from the NYC. He's from South Jamaica, Queens, by the way. Shout out to Queensbridge.
Nah, that dude's not from Queens. Nah.
Yeah, that's what they have. That's what they got. Hey,
not from
he
Queens.
He did a year at Rhode Island where he played all over the floor at 6'10". He was drafted in the first round by the L.A. Clippers where he played point guard, shooting guard, small forward, and power forward. One year, because he was so versatile, he started at the point guard with Q Rich at the shooting guard, Corey Maggette at the small forward, Elton Brand at the power forward, and Michael Olowokandi at center with Darius Miles as the sixth man. Odom was later traded to Miami. Well, he signed with Miami as a free agent where he mostly played power forward. Then he was traded to the Lakers where he currently plays small forward and power forward depending on the lineup. Now, the problem I have with Odom is that he has yet to make an NBA All-Star team or be selected as one of the 15 best players on the NBA first, second, or third teams. For his career, Odom has averaged 15 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 assists. Odom has one of the rarest combinations of talent ever seen. First, he's 6'10 with the ability to grab 12 rebounds a game. Second, he is a lefty, which always gives defenses and defenders a different look. Third, he can handle the basketball like a point guard and can average 10 assists if given the responsibility to be a full-time point guard. Fourth, he is athletic enough to guard every position on the court. Fifth, he can post up. Sixth, he can make three-pointers. And seventh, he is an unselfish player. Now, my expectation for Lamar Odom was 23 points per game, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists with about 8 All-Star appearances in a 12-year career. And now, with that, I'm done. And with that, I will take the alley-oop from Jimmy as I jump from the right baseline, catch the pass in the air with two hands. I see the help defender going for the block at the rim, so I switch the basketball to my left hand using my 6'8 wingspan, get bumped in my chest by the defender, and dunk it with the left hand and draw the foul.
And the crowd goes wild.
What's up, brother? Kill, you a wild boy. You be on your GX. That's how you used to do it in the GX room back in the day. But, yo, let me let everybody know how to get in touch with us real quick. War Room Land, check us out on our website at warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. You can become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. Subscribe to and become a fan of our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and get updates and reminders about the show. Speaking of blogs, check out ours, All's Fair in Sports and War, on the blog tab of our website. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast so you can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, and you never know. The War Room Professors just might call on you. I'm going to throw it over to you, Jim.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's jump right into this, yo. Let's play a round of HOF or FOH. Now, listen to this real quick. Stop hating, stop. Now, listen, I got two cats. Because the first cat, I think you guys are going to fly through. And let me see what you say. So for the first HOF for FOH, Vince Carter.
Ew.
God.
Now, just a little bit about his numbers.
That's
now.
A good
before
one,
you
no
even think his numbers. He got 20,000 points, 3,500 assists, and 4,800 rebounds. His career average is a 22-5-4. Eight-time All-Star, Rookie of the Year, half man, half amazing, you know, UNC. Also, I'm going to say you for last because I can only imagine what you want to say. But, TJ, I like starting with you to confuse you. What you going to say about VC?
Vincent Princess Boy Carter. That's a good one. I mean, you're looking at a guy that's 22.2 per game score on his career. Not notoriously considered a winner.
NBA record for most threes in a playoff game too.
So. Yeah, I'm gonna go with no. He doesn't get mine just on the strength that I mean. Like you said, I mean, he has with the Raptors and Nets.
Is it because he's feminine?
His femininity does play a role in it, B-Money, straight up. I mean, it's hard for me because I'm it's like, no. Honestly, I'm going to say he's close, but I'm going to go with no. I mean,
those are solid
he may have
though.
The statistics, but if he had more of – but I think if he was more considered a winner. I mean, because honestly, when you're thinking about it, that does play a role in it. Now, granted, he did play on some playoff teams. Obviously, with the Raptors, he used to battle with the Sixers a lot in the playoffs. But – I can't give Vince the nod. He has good numbers, but I just can't give Vince the nod.
All right. Doc Bay, what you got? What you got, Doc Bay?
You know, I like to go to Basketball Database, and he's under the 135 value of the Hall of Fame monitor, but it has him on par with Grant Hill. Grant Hill, 119. They have Vince Carter, 121. Mark Jackson, 115. Chris Mullin, like, 117. So he'll probably get in. Because they're just letting anybody in nowadays, but I personally say no.
Hold on. What's his number? What's his number? One what?
121. Grant Hills is 119. Mark Jackson is 117.
What's Chris Mullin?
Chris Mullin is like 115, and he got in.
He's actually higher. He's actually ranked higher. Okay, you think he will get in, but you would say he doesn't deserve to.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. I put him in like – I don't think I would ever put him in. You know what? He should go to the Hall of Fame for – kids, just because you have great athletic ability and talent does not mean you will be a great player.
Okay, got you. Now, Kill, you do know that when we say HOF, FOH, it doesn't matter what ballot. He could be like, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't have to be first ballot. We're just saying, period. Will he go in the Hall of Fame, period? And you're saying you wouldn't put him in.
Yeah.
But you think he will. You think they will put him in, though.
If he go in, then
yeah, they will.
McGrady should go in, too, I guess.
Exactly.
I know you hate Tracy, Jim.
Like right here,
it says I'm not even going to say nothing. We don't got time for that. I'm going to back out. You brought up Tracy's name. I'm just going to be quiet, but Austin, what's your opinion?
Oh, God.
Brad be making it sound like he hurting over there.
Yo, because I'm going to just come out and say this, and y'all can hold me to it. Like, everything that Vince stands for, like, I hate. Like, I hate the dude. Like, he's soft. I only like him when he's in the air. Like, when he's on Earth, I don't mess with the dude. Like, when he's in the air, he's done some pretty fantastic things. But I'm going to shock y'all. I think that statistically, see, here's the tough part about this, is he's going to continue to play. And so as he extends his career, I think it devalues, you know, a lot of what he's done early on. I think today, if his career was done, you have to put him in the Hall. I think you have
wow.
to.
Wow. The one cat that I thought wouldn't let him in is the one that let him in.
Yeah. And I hate him. In fact, my nickname for him is the highest jumping human trash can man. I mean, y'all know I hate him. And defensively, he can't stop any of the hosts on this show. And I mean that literally and figuratively. Like, he cannot guard anything.
Nah,
he can't guard a stationary object on the basketball court.
Yo, here's my thing. I'm going to say, now there's only four of us today, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say he gets in just based upon his numbers. I do think he has, like, a lot of flaws in his game. But, again, like I say, when I do the research for these HO and I see some of the cats in the league, it's hard for me not to say, yeah, when I see some of the other jokers in the league.
But imagine how weak the Hall going to be, though. Like, they just letting – because, honestly, if you look at Tracy McGrady, not to bring in somebody else, but his numbers are very comparable to Vince, Tracy.
Yeah.
T-Mac. Because, I mean, he's a 20, he's a 21, I think, point per game average. Averages more rebounds. I mean, if, and again, you can't just go off of his, you know, statistics alone. But I mean, those kind, I mean, those are the tweeners to me. Like they're close, but I just don't give them the nod.
Well, let me ask you a question, PJ. Like, we already know Chris Mullin got in. Before he got in, would you have said that he deserved to be there?
Probably not. it's crazy because, my Hall of Fame, my parameters to get in are a little more stringent, I think, than the actual voters. But I guess if I think and say, all right, would I put him in or will he get in? Like, he may get in, but I wouldn't put him in. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, hold on, PJ. Hold on, PJ. Now, Chris Mullin had, like, 8 years of 19 points per game and then had 1 year of 29.
I know.
He had some 25s in there. He had some 25s and 27s in there.
All right,
but Vince did too. Like Vince got 27, 25, 24.
That's
why you got him in.
That's why I got
between 1999 to 2006. I mean, he had one season that he didn't average like over 20 around the 20-25 point. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, he was rookie of the year.
Like.
On the offensive end of the court, Vince Carter was a problem. In fact, I'll even give you this. Last year in Orlando, and I think dude's on the tail end of his career, he had a 48-point game. Dude can score.
He can score. He can put the ball in the hoop. He definitely can.
Yo, didn't he score like 50? He scored 50 like twice in his career. Yo, here's my thing, though. Like, I put him in just strictly because he dunked on the ball like that in the Olympics. That right there is
over the ball head. He jumped over the ball though. That's some freak stuff.
Yo, I'm gonna save my second name for another one. I got a good one for y'all, but I'm gonna say this one. So I think we're tied at the two. So here's what I'm gonna say. The cats on Facebook, Twitter, let us know what you think in terms of Vince Carter being a Hall of Famer or not. We're gonna put it on Facebook maybe tomorrow, have some conversation to see what goes on, you know. So let us know what you think. Is Vince Carter a Hall of Famer? You know what I mean? Because it's tied up at two, so we're going to let the fans decide what happens from here on out.
I try and keep some level of consistency, even though I hate the ball, and I try and be aggressive.
I appreciate that, Austin, because you know for a fact.
If you're a 22-point-per-game scorer over the type of career you had, you can't poop on that, as much as I hate
it. And, who's in the chat room right now? Anybody in the chat room? Because – you know, see what's in there, because I think our brother Dev is in the chat room.
Oh, he said hell no.
He can break our tie. Exactly. Dev
said but the Dev ain't in the war minute, so we're going to leave Dev out of it. We're going to let the fans decide whether Vince gets enough. I want to see what people think.
His answer's in there. His answer's in the chat.
He said hell no.
I want to see what the fans are saying.
If you get Vincent, then like I said, you got to let T-Mac in. There's a lot of guys that are going to be in that, you know, they gave you some good points per game and scored but couldn't play D, didn't really win anything, are trash in the clutch. But, you know, they can
score. And trash in the clutch.
But see, that one game with A.I., they was getting it in. Yo, but the thing about it is, like, for me, it's the hardest. Like, when I look at these names that are already in there, yo, because if I had the Hall of Fame, yo, it'd be like six people in the Hall.
You're basing it on how they already judging, so you're like, well, if they judging him, then they might as well let him in. Real quick,
before we move on, yo, shout out to my man A.I. for ending Vince's Hall of Fame career, because after that playoff series, Vince was never, ever the same.
I ain't no comment on that. I know AI is like your little cousin, so I'm gonna be quiet. Yo, PJ, take us into some hot topics, good brother.
Yo, let's get into these topics in my Cameron Giles voice. It's a lot going on out there, y'all. It's a lot going on. I want to kick off the hot topics with boxing this week. Now, over the weekend, there was a very, very good WBC welterweight title bout on HBO. Between Victor Ortiz and Andre Berto. from Haiti. And it was a great battle. Like, this people are talking in the boxing community about this being, you know, so far the fight of the year, one of the best fights in the past few years. First of all, did you guys check it out? And if so, what do you think? Because I just wanted to I want to get into some things that I noticed about it. But go ahead, Jim.
I did see the fight, and I was very impressed. And, you know, I'm an MMA guy. I still love boxing, though. It's just that I don't often get to see good matches. This is one of the best fights I've seen in years, yo. And I can tell you one thing.
Yeah.
The bull, Victor Ortiz, was fighting like he was 2 months behind in rent. Yo, bull was hungry.
He really was.
He came out going right at the bull like, yo. And they were knocking each other down, getting back up.
Exactly. Yeah, just real quick in terms of the Chronicle, like, there was a knockdown in the first round. Like, Ortiz knocked Berto down, which wasn't considered a knockdown. They kind of considered it to be like a rabbit punch. It looked like a clean punch, though, honestly, but I guess it was a little bit, could have been a trip. So, but then after that, Berto got up, you know, wasn't considered a knockdown, and then Ortiz commenced to whooping his ascot and beat him into a corner and dropped him in the first round. Then in the second round, Berto caught Ortiz with like a counterpunch and dropped him. But he couldn't finish him. And then in the next few rounds, Ortiz just kept putting it on him. And the crazy part about this fight is that Berto was supposed to be like a top welterweight. And I'm not saying that he isn't, but, you know, for example, in the sixth round, Berto finally dropped him. But he was trying to finish him off, and then he ended up getting dropped with 10 seconds left to go in the round. It was crazy.
And people don't realize Berto is considered like the third best boxer in the world behind Floyd and the steroid using bull.
Floyd and Pacquiao. And then, even higher than Shane, just because of the fact that Shane has so many losses. One thing I noticed about Berto watching the fight, though, Berto has like a weak jab. It's almost like he slaps his jab out there, and he has real bad footwork. And
he has no jab. And you know what
Ortiz was catching him with? A lot of uppercuts. He's very susceptible to getting caught by uppercuts.
His corner weak too. Yo, his brother was like in the way of his trainer trying to give him, and his brother's like jumping in the way, like, go knock his ass
his
out.
Brother,
like,
yeah, his brother looked like Kevin Hart. Tell him, go knock him out. Go sucker punch him.
Yeah.
Knock him out.
His trainer was trying to give him like real advice, like, you know, thinking about what to do. His brother jumped up, yo, go knock his ass out. I'm like, yo, come on, fam.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Yo, I mean, and
all
I'm going to
say,
bro?
All I'm going to say is the war room, ladies and gentlemen, is reduced to having to discuss two dudes that probably have day jobs, Berto and Ortiz, because my man, Pretty Girl Swirl, is a coward. And that's what I got to say about
Berto has a day job, but Ortiz might be a cop on the graveyard shift.
Ortiz came out like he ain't trying to work no more, man. I'm going to tell you that.
But
Berto is considered one of the best fighters in the world.
Yeah, he was.
A coward, we'd be talking about the real Rumble.
Berto was supposed to fight Pacquiao
before the earthquake in Haiti, though. He was going to fight Shane too. I think
I didn't say, yo, listen, neither of them boys is cowards.
A
bottom line is he must have found out that Pacquiao was taking horse steroids in his ass too. So, you know what I'm saying, like. Once Pacquiao gets off the steroids, we can move forward. Anyway,
you taking that black protectionist stuff to another level. Floyd's a coward. Call it what it is, and let's keep it moving.
Yeah, I am being a BP. So what? Anyway,
CJ,
anything else you want to talk about?
But that was a great fight. That was a great fight. But let's transition into some NCAA basketball, fellas. The word out of University of North Carolina is that Harrison Barnes is going to return for a sophomore season at North Carolina, and he was projected to be, in some circles, a top three pick in the draft. So basically with him returning, you got Tyler Zeller, John Henson, Kendall Marshall, Dexter Strickland, and Barnes, meaning that all five starters from last year's Elite Eight team are going to return. Does this mean that they're going to repeat, fellas? Not repeat, but are they the prohibitive favorite going into the season? What y'all think?
I mean, they have to be up there.
Oh, go ahead, Jimmy.
No, I was saying they have to be up there. But it's funny because I see a lot of players saying they're coming back, and the analysts saying these guys are staying in school. Yo, they're doing this because they know the NBA is going to be locked out anyway. If these,
right.
You know what I'm saying? They're not doing this because they want to, like, you know, take English 102. They're doing this because they know the NBA is going to be locked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're about to go.
And get them big head money handshakes. And
big money head, right?
And make about $100K to $150K while in college, which is better than nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that with the whole lockout. Yeah, if I was in college, I was like a freshman sophomore, I'd probably stay too, because I remember last time we had the lockout, it went all the way to like January, February, and you know, so you get drafted. You can't sign a contract, so all you're living off on is your agent's credit line. And
yo,
you know what I'm saying? You
no
want to go back to class.
Right, right.
It ain't no fun owing David Falk.
With interest.
With interest.
Yeah, he like a loan shark.
Yo, speaking of that, didn't your man Vince Carter blow his fortune and have to borrow money from his agent on his first rookie contract?
Look, man, that has no bearing on him going to the Hall of Fame, man.
Yo, they all go through it, man. It's crazy. But I honestly think that Harrison Barnes might be the best pro on that team, to be honest with you. I mean,
I agree.
We'll see. But from what I see from him, he looks like he may be the best pro. So I would say that I think they are the favorite. I mean, considering who's coming back. I mean, they have some team cohesiveness because it's the same guys coming back. And that's more than a lot of the big, you know, schools can say. So, but with that, man, listen, any of you guys pay attention to the Boston Marathon over the weekend? My man,
no.
Jeffrey Mutai, and I think I'm pronouncing his name right. His record, he's the winner, obviously. He ran the marathon in 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 2 seconds, but they're not going to recognize his record because they said the course had downhill. There was downhill because it was a hilly course, and there were tailwinds of up to 14 miles an hour. So he's going to win the race, so he'll be listed as the winner. He's going to get his $225,000, but he just won't be considered the record holder. What do you guys think about that? I mean, my man is hailing from Kenya, and another Kenyan won a female's marathon. But what y'all think about that? How they doing, my man Jeffrey Mutai?
What the hell is that?
Because it was breezy outside.
They wouldn't have gave him the benefit. They wouldn't have gave him the benefit of the doubt if it was raining and he was slowed down by the rain. So why they knocking him because of the wind?
That's what I'm
they
saying.
They
kind of
hold
man.
My man
it's
Mutai
crazy.
Back, man. They mad because he had them Vibram five finger joints on him. Maybe he had one of them feline skeletons. helping him move around, man. That's crazy, man. That's ridiculous, man. FOA.
Yo, why do people from that part of the world? Why can they run like 80 or 90 miles?
Yo, this is why.
Break it down for us.
Now, one thing, they're close to the equator. So, you know, being in Africa, so that Ethiopia and Kenyans, they're closer to the equator, and you have highlands and mountains and Ethiopia and Kenya, so the altitude is higher. So you know how like when people play the Nuggets or play the Broncos, it's like, man, they get tired faster because the air is thinner. So they have the sun, their outside is hot, and they're running in higher altitudes. So when they come over here in the United States or they're in the Olympics, it's like their lung capacity has trained at a tougher pace. So now when they come down to, like, you know, sea level, it's like, yo, I can do this in my sleep, and they smoke everybody.
Yes, dude.
That's a good – you're right, Kill, because everybody talks about with that when they either play the Nuggets or the Broncos, people that, you know, are coming to Denver and the fact that their altitude is a mile high, it's different. The air is just completely different.
Lack of oxygen,
I'm going to tell you what
– that lack of oxygen causes J.R. Smith to shoot, like, half-court shots early in the shot clock.
Into his head. He doesn't get any into his
oxygen.
But let me tell y'all what put it in perspective for me real quick. Not to cut you off, Jim, but what I heard is that basically what he did is the equivalent of running on a treadmill with it at 13 miles per hour for 2 hours and 3 minutes straight.
Come on, man.
Hey, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I run on the treadmill like about, I say, 3 times a week, right? And the days when I want to do interval training and I want to get somewhere shoes on and run like I got Doberman pinchers on my heel, I turn it up to 10 and run for like 2 minutes, right? Then I'll have to recover for like 3 to 4 minutes, and then I'll do the same cycle over and over again. And I'm winded. By the time I get to 10 miles per hour at 2 minutes, I'm done, cuz. My man, they said that on 13 for 2 hours and 3 minutes straight is what he did. Like, to me, to think about that, cuz, is that exactly. That makes
yo,
no sense
what
to
you,
me.
What
like,
you saying
that's
that, I have, yo, what you saying that, I have no more comments.
Yo,
yo,
he
I'm leaving with that because that's what put it all into perspective
ran,
of how fast
yo.
He sprinted. Brad, he sprinted for 2 hours.
He sprinted
my man
for 2 hours.
Sprinted for 2 hours.
And so 26 miles in 3.5. Yo, I can't run 26 miles in 3 days.
Yo, he did it in 2 hours, fam. He did. You could probably. He probably ran. He would probably run past cars if they had to get from Philly out the like Limerick.
Yo, it's nothing more. Yo, it's nothing
back.
More needs to be said on this, cuz. Yo, this is
exactly.
Story,
that's why I said I'm gonna leave it. Because,
hey, yo,
this is that story.
Hey, yo, shout out to Africa, yo. Word up.
Straight up, Kenya too, specifically Kenya, man. But all right, let's move it on to the association, fellas. As Brad alluded to earlier, Mr. Three Heads, Dwight Howard, won his third straight Defensive Player of the Year award. What y'all think about that? I mean, essentially, Dwight Howard is pretty much, he dominates on the defensive end, even if he's just not manning up against another center. Here's a train of thought for you guys. Tony Allen, a.k.a. Darkskin Jermaine, tweeted out, he said, you know, Dwight Howard won the Defensive Player of the Year, but who does he have to guard that's good throughout the year? Like, what do you guys think about that thought, that there are no centers in the league, essentially? Exactly. That same dude. Same dude. What do y'all think about that?
Basketball is not played like one-on-one. Now, he takes over the whole, like, that side of the ball. He causes people to react different with their shots, and he dominates on the defensive end. It doesn't matter who he sticks one-on-one, but that's not how basketball is played.
With Dwight Howard lurking in the middle, grown men who get paid millions of dollars to go to the rack don't go to the rack and become jump shooters, and they don't have jump shots.
Yeah. Okay. So, Kill, you got anything on this, Kill?
The face of your offense. Would you say, Kill?
Yeah.
Yo, no. What I want to say is he going to keep getting this award until he retires? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he
that's
might.
That's what I'm thinking. He may, because just what we talked about, one, he does change the complexion of your offense, and secondly, there's not going to be another dominating big man. Well, at least we don't see anyone on
PJ,
the horizon right now.
PJ,
I mean,
ask,
I think the closest person might be my man from the Lakers. What do you say?
PJ, let me ask you a question then. So defense.
Harold?
PJB? He was off.
You there?
Go ahead.
Both sides of the. Okay. It brings in the focus that both sides of the court are important.
Right.
Yeah, what you said.
Right.
Yeah, what you said.
What I said, right? So my question is, isn't he better than Shaq then? Because Shaq ain't play no defense.
Yo.
Can you repeat the part of the stuff where you said all about the things?
I'm not going to touch that.
Here's the thing, B, real quick. I think Shaq did some of the same things back in his prime. So Shaq changed the complexion of an offense, too, because you weren't just going to drive the ball to the hoop, you know, smiling at people, grinning with Shaq down there, because he was going to do something, even if it was just make an ugly face, but he was going to intimidate you. So.
Shaq went to the finals with Orlando and lost the same way that Dwight did. So maybe Dwight will come out L.A. and win 3 chips. What you think?
Word on the street says it's possible.
Anyway, what's the other award you want to talk about?
Yeah, the other award, guys, is good old Lamb, Lamar Odom from the Lakers, won the Sixth Man of the Year award. And again, Lamb is just the name that Khloe Kardashian gives him, so that's not like a nickname I gave him because that is Princess Boy-ish. But that's his name that his wife gave him. What do you guys think about Lamar Odom? Like, you know, speak to, because I know you guys have varying thoughts on, you know, what his expectations were coming into the league and, you know, where he is as a sixth man. And go ahead, Brad. So you sound like you're chomping at the bit over there. What you think?
Gump, Nut. I mean, these are the adjectives that come to mind when I think of Lamar Odom signed over a third of his fortune to. Never mind, man.
Grimace? You about to say Grimace, man. What you think, Jim?
I mean, as a player, he should have been more.
Damn, Brody. I predicted it last week that he would win the Sixth Man of the Year award. And actually, if you watched the game last night, he's the reason they won. He came out and proved that, you know, Lamar Odom literally can start for any team in the league, including the team he plays on, but he's accepted his role as the Sixth Man, and he's actually flourishing in that role. I agree with Kill that he has the skill set to be one of the best players in the league, but everybody is not built like that mentally. So at the end of the day, he's still an effective player. And watching last night's game, it shows you why.
Yeah, what you think?
Yo,
I mean, we know how you spoke to it earlier.
Let me quote from my man Dr. Daniel Amen. He's a Lakers fan and a neuropsychologist, and he said Lakers star Lamar Odom and it has a massive addiction to candy. And he says, in it, you can see the 6'10" forward gobbling up massive quantities of sugary treats. They said Odom has been a giant source of frustration for Lakers fans. He's unbelievably talented, but often acts like a space cadet during games. Once he was taking the ball out on the sidelines, he walked into the court before he threw the ball in, causing a turnover. During the Lakers' last home game against the Denver Nuggets, Kobe Bryant threw him a pass, but the ball hit him in the shoulder because he had spaced out and was not paying attention. And it says on sports talk shows, Odom is constantly criticized because no one knows if he'll play or not. So I'll just stop right there and, you know, you never know what you're going to get with Odom. You never know what you're going to get.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yo, that's Diesel right there, fam. I mean, it's interesting. I always thought it was interesting how you find players that seem to play better off the bench than they would starting. I think it's a mental
pressure.
Mindset.
It's
pressure. And sometimes,
it's a mental thing.
It's a mental thing. I got you.
But if you know,
it's
one thing, though, PJ, in the clutch, he's in the game in the clutch. Bynum's not on the floor.
That's true.
He is.
That's true. Because, I mean, you can use him in so many ways. I mean, at his level of athleticism and skill set and his height.
Literally, could you tell me, it ain't about who starts, it's about who finishes the game. And I mean, with that being said, he does finish the games. But go ahead, though.
Man,
Jeffrey finished the game
the other night.
Did he? Yo, that's one of Dev's most hated players, man. And after seeing him the other night, I'm totally on that bandwagon. He stinks. But anyway. All right, guys, let's get into some National Football League news. Jamarcus Rubbish Russell, his life coach, former Sixers coach, John Lucas.
Nigga got a life coach.
He's laughing, man. He's going through it. He needs assistance. But anyway, yo, John Lucas just gave up on him. He wiped his hands. He said, listen, I can't do anything else with this guy. I can't do any good for him. Like, he doesn't want to grow. What y'all say about that, man? Yo.
PJ, you know it's bad when your life, first of all, your life coach is an ex-basehead.
Is an ex-basehead.
Your life coach, yo, John Lucas was a basehead. Yeah. Like, yo, your life coach
he was a bad
basehead.
Yeah.
Yo, and so you
and
had
he gave
up
on
gave
you.
Up on
you.
Because you ever been in the hood and see like, yo, crackheads, like, yo, they're the most loyal people in the world. Like, yo, you see two crackheads in love, they never break up. Yo, crackheads are loyal people.
Right.
So when you have a big head that tells
you
that, yo, you're not going to, yo, he tells
I'll
you,
do
you
it.
Yo, you.
I'll do it.
Exactly. He can't help you no more. You really got some serious issues, man. He got some serious issues.
Gator. Like Kill said, Gator pretty much gave up on him. Gator from, what's his name? The Spike Lee joint. What you think,
Brad?
Man. What you think about Jamarcus?
The Spike Lee joint.
I couldn't think of the name, but
yo.
I mean, is he just a lost cause at this point? Should they just give up on him?
It's gotten so
stay
bad.
Stay away from the crack. Which
it's
I think
gotten so bad. It's gotten so bad. A crackhead is giving up on a coffee syrup drinker.
Oh man. Anything
to say? Yo, the base said, yo, 17th and Jefferson is not what's up.
he said J Street is not what it was, huh?
J Street is
crazy.
Not what it is. All seriousness, his talent is kind of there, but he's not talented enough for him to just take life lightly like this. And so with the clock ticking and him being 25 and 300 pounds, I mean, I don't see him coming back.
Me either. I mean,
waiting.
I laugh
I'm
at it,
waiting.
But it's sad,
I'm waiting
man.
For the 30 for 30 about his life, yo.
Yo, there you go. There you go.
All right, well, also this week, guys, the NFL schedule came out. Now, I don't know if this is just a teaser or what, considering that they still haven't worked out the labor issues, but listen, the Packers and the Saints are supposedly going to kick it off on September 8th on Thursday. One thing that's interesting about the Packers, y'all, is that they're actually playing on Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, and I think they're the first team to actually do that. So are there any other key matchups that stood out to you guys? I mean, to me, there weren't any because it's hard sometimes to tell what the teams are going to be, say, like week 8 or week 6 or week 10 and where they're slated. But, you know, anything that stood out to you guys?
Yo, it's kind of hard to really get into the schedule considering we don't even know, like, what's going on. So I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. There really wasn't anything that, like, stood out to me other than the fact that the Packers are on, like, yo, they may not have any Sunday games, yo, other than Sunday night. They're playing on all the holidays. They're on, like, 18 Monday night games, Sunday night football. Yo, they're going to exploit these jokers, cuz.
They are. They are.
They're going to bring, they're going to bring Brett Favre back.
Oh, man.
Stop doing that, man. He keeps saying stuff trying to get me to go there. I'm just going to be quiet. I'm not going to fall for your traps, Austin.
That's true. But, yeah, man, it's crazy. Like you said, we don't know. It's hard to get into the season and the schedule for me. I mean, personally, just because of what's going on, and we don't know how things are going to pan out. So
we don't have a season. The players are already splitting up. They're already breaking down. The owners know what's up. They got them. Checkmate.
Yeah, they said, and it's funny. I heard that that may have even been more from the owners coming out with the sense of that, you know, other players wanted to, some of the, like, lower salary players wanted to come to the table with their own representation. Some of the NFL wanted to get that story out there to make it look like.
We talked about that earlier, but, you know, it's like the owners are, you know, these dudes, they didn't make that money, you know what I mean, being guys with high moral fiber. These dudes are ruthless, man, so they're going to get it done. They're definitely going to get it done, man.
All right, guys. Well, I mean, that's pretty much the hot topics this week. So, B.L.C., you want to hit us with a media blast, or you want to take it?
Oh, man, absolutely. I want to let the people know.
Yeah, let them know where we at.
Can get in contact with us. Folks, check out our website at warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also located on that page. I want you to also become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. Also, follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. Subscribe to and become a fan of ours on our YouTube channel at www.warroomsportstv. Yeah, that's right. We got a TV station. We big time. warroomsportstv.com. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now, during the show, at blogtalkradio.com/The War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't have the time or you don't want to, go ahead and create an account. Go ahead and sign in through your Facebook or your Twitter account. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. Speaking of blogs, check out ours, All's Fair in Sports and War, on the blog tab of our website. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast, Yeah, We Get Down with Steve Jobs, so you can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak to the hosts, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012 and press 1 when prompted. That will plug you right into our studios on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills. If you're already listening from your phone, Just press 1 if you want to speak. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, and who knows? The Warroom Professors may just call on you. What's going on, fellas? What's on Facebook? What's in the chat room? What's happening?
Yo, Kevin Lang said that Olympian equals Hall of Famer when we talked about Vince Carter. And then I said, what about guys like Christian Laettner, Tyson Chandler, Michael Redd? And he said, well, how about the starters to the eighth man? They can make it an Hall of Fame on the Olympic team.
No.
Nah.
No, but yo, and speaking of that, though, you know what I mean? It's that time right now, y'all.
Yeah.
What's wrong, my man Curtis Bow? Yo, anyway, yo, let's talk about these playoff series. I know you guys have been like up late watching all these playoff series and all the craziness that's going on with the Pacers and Bulls. And I'm just gonna go first with that series, and you guys give me your opinion of that Pacers Bulls series. Go ahead, Austin. I know you're gonna say.
I'm a little disappointed in the Bulls. You know, by the same token, I'm very, very excited to see Derrick Rose stepping up in a major way and earning that MVP. But they're relying entirely too much on him to carry that team. I mean, Luol Deng should be playing a little bit better. Jaquim Noah, some of the other supporting cast should be helping that dude out, man. By the same token, the Pacers, ain't nobody tell the Pacers that they're bums, so they seem to be trying to ball. Boozer, why is Boozer getting abused in the post like that?
Yo, Hansbro is scrambling him. He's stir frying. Yo, he's scrambling him and making him an omelet. Hey, Kill, I haven't heard Kill weigh in on this. What do you think about your team? Because I kind of I share the same sentiments as Brad in the sense that I'm surprised that it's this close. Now, granted, it's the playoffs, but I feel like they're very reliant on Derrick Rose. I mean, he's answering the bell.
I was going to say, we have some Bulls fans and people that are very, very hype about us. And me, I'm just kind of a realist. And, like, we haven't been anywhere. We haven't done anything. This is his team's first year together. Granted, we won 62 games, but we haven't been in tough, grinded out playoff series yet, and the Pacers are the worst team in the playoffs right now, and we're barely beating them. So to me, I would have thought that, okay, us make to the Eastern Conference Finals is a successful season, but you know, we got to get it. We got to deal with the Pacers. I think the moment is too big for the team, because in their minds, I don't think they expected to win 62 games this year. But Derrick Rose is such an animal. He's like, yo, I'm gonna put y'all on my back, and he can only take them so far without them meeting the challenge of his intensity.
I think he'll get him out of this series. I mean, obviously he's not doing it by himself, but almost theoretically he kind of is. But
I'm surprised that Luol Deng.
That may work for now, but I think it'll be tough going further. I think it'll get tough going further when teams start to do more exotic things to get the ball out of his hands and run doubles and crazy stuff at him. But we'll see. I don't know.
I want them to keep playing
real quick. I really like watching Derrick Rose right now. So I want the Bulls to keep playing.
I take a cue from my homies, the Brewer Street Line. They call it the that dude theory. And Derrick Rose is that dude. If you look at on the floor at both teams, he's, like, far and away the best player on both teams. So the Bulls will win the series. But I also agree with Kill. I'm a stern believer in you have to, like, earn your trip to be a championship team. Every team, even this Lakers team or Michael Jordan's Bulls, had to, like, go through growing pains in the playoffs before they became a championship-caliber team. Like he said, you have to be in those situations where you grind it out. So this can only make them better in the long run. But your man Boozer, I don't know if y'all dudes, he's getting sexually abused out there. I'm, like, waiting for, like, Benson and Stabler from SVU to, like, walk on the court and come lock up Hansborough for sexual assault. But he is killing this dude.
Well, Jimmy, the dude that's cooking him, 1 year of Boozer's salary is his entire contract. He getting roasted by a bum.
Right. I wouldn't call the boy a bum, man. Boy's a big-time player, yo. Hansbrough has played big in big games. I mean, I'm not saying he's a star player, but if you look at his college career and watch him now, he puts something. I mean, he'll Y'all just keep saying that. Y'all were saying the same thing about Kevin Love. You're going to be sending him an apology, too. This dude knows how to play the game of basketball. He has a high basketball IQ.
So, Jim,
you
have your record on saying Hansborough is the next Kevin Love?
Yo,
no,
Scotty,
that's not what I'm saying. He's a solid player.
Right, and he can give you outings like that because he plays hard every night. So the fact, like, especially in game one, I mean, you know, he plays hard, so he may give you outings, and you like, damn, he busting whoever he's matched up against.
It's no way to like, yo, he has heart. Like, you can't measure that by statistics, yo.
He got that Caucasian heart factor.
He's not scared.
Yeah, you bet.
They definitely not in place. They definitely not in place, but he does have heart. Yo, put it like this. Hansborough is no worse than Noah.
No worse or no better? Are you saying he's better? So basically, are you by default saying he's better than Noah? Or he's no worse?
He's not worse than the meaning that these dudes can contribute the same thing to their teams. Now, Noah's a little bit taller, I believe. But what I'm saying is Noah's another player that's just not scared. He's not going to give you 30 and all that to put the numbers up. But guys like that are needed on the team. Like, when you have a basketball team that wants to compete, you need guys that's willing to, like, play not scared and do the dirty work, so to speak.
You need the dudes with the homeless mentality. Straight up. Shout out
to my man Kendrick Perkins, too, man. Brad's homie.
Well, I'll wait till we get to that series to bring my little fact up about him, a player's poll that they had about him. But anyway.
Yo, before we get to that series, let's talk about the Grizzlies and Spurs series. Like, what you guys think about Dark Skin Jermaine and them coming out taking game one, and then they should have won last night, for real.
Manu. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I know. I think Manu, if you look at the two games, it looked like to me, now I don't want to say it was all Manu, who looked like he should be, you know, moving work through the Caribbean somewhere.
Yo, Manu looked like somebody Jack Bauer be chasing. But go ahead, though.
I know. But the funny thing is in the first game, it was like it was a completely different team almost. It looked like the Spurs from game one to game two. But game one, what I was impressed with amongst many things from the Grizzlies was the big man play with Randolph. And Gasol,
Randolph,
like the big, yo, the high low, the passing, the working off of each other. Just them two dudes alone was putting in work that game.
Randolph and Gasol are a pleasure and a privilege to watch in that post area.
Yeah, they are.
They set up on the block, and they have, mm-hmm. like, a menagerie of things to offer to customers coming through. Like, what you want?
Here's my quick thing, yo. I was watching Marc Gasol play, and, like, Pau Gasol has game, and Marc Gasol also has game, but their games are, like, total opposites. Like, yo, how they play together as a kid. Like, yo, Marc Gasol is, like, straight tough. Pau Gasol is, like, soft.
Pau Gasol was the one that was crying. Yeah, them two as brothers, Pau Gasol was the one that snitched a lot. Like, he probably told on Mark often, even if it wasn't even basketball. Pau was the one that told. When people got in trouble, when something was broke and the folks came home, and they said, who broke that vase? Pau said, Mark. It was that type of situation where Mark kept it gangster, and kept it mob, and kept his mouth shut. That's the sense I get from watching it. I derive all this from watching their basketball games. By the way,
yo, they have total opposite games. Like, power is all skill, Mark is all brute strength.
I'm surprised the Grizzlies are doing this well without Rudy is gay. I mean,
he's the leading scorer.
They ball.
Yo, here's the thing, man. I'm not surprised because if you go back to last week's show, I picked him to win the series. First off, another thing I got to say about your man Manu. Manu's a productive player, but Manu be cheating too, man. Yo, the ball charges on every play.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
I know, just like Damian Thomas and all that.
If you ain't trying, you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Hey, anyway, what you say he do, Jim? Did you say that he cheated?
He gets his Walter Payton on. My man takes the rock, ducks his head, and just like, yo.
You say he trusts people on every play.
Every
That's
play.
The Euro step. That's the Euro step.
That's the Euro step. He put the head in his shoulder there.
The Euro step is supposed to take you past your opponent. Manny does
the Eurostep is really what Dwayne Wade does a lot. Dwayne does the Eurostep
and
all the
Clyde the Glide.
Yo.
Yeah.
Clyde did that because he ain't had no left hand. He was scared to even bring the ball close to his left hand. So he just like, he was ducking trying to cradle a rock because he had no handle.
Yo, Jimmy, remember that dunk against the Lakers? It was like he was dribbling and he was like, yo, I don't want to put it to my left, so I'm going to just jump from the elbow. And he banged that jump.
He jumped to avoid dribbling the rock. Yo, that's what he was doing. He was jumping to avoid dribbling the rock. But I'm not surprised at the way they're playing because basically like it's sort of like the fight game. Like styles make fights, and they match up very well with this Spurs team, considering you know the big guys they bringing in there, and these guys are balling, and the Spurs are like you know they're shorthanded. Like, how tall is the ball? How tall is your man that's starting? The ball from Pitt. What's his name?
Samuel
Blair.
Yeah,
Ron Blair. He's like six seven. Yeah.
Yo, my man, like 6'7" center
in the street.
He looks like a brown bear. He looks like a grizzly.
He has no knees. He has no knees, and he's like 6'7". Yo, and that's why I said that I think Memphis will win the series.
What about
series.
The big fundamental? You don't think he's going? He's so old.
A big fundamental. Big fundamental still got some game left. But at the end of the day,
he got some
Manu's their best player now. And I just don't know if you can win a chip, but Manu is your best player. Anyway, next series. Sixers Heat, the hometown Sixers.
Oh, come on. What? Let me just say this real quick. I just want the Miami Heat to go ahead and sweep the Sixers. Please win tonight. Please win on Sunday. Let this be over with. It's hard to watch. I see my man Doug Collins out there trying to coach his heart out, and we got a team where nobody can put the ball in the hoop on a consistent basis. Not that they have to be Kobe, but be a killer type of scorer. But I'm sitting there watching this game, cuz, and it hurts me because it's like we'll go through stretches where we can't get a basket for like 6-7 minutes at a time. There's nobody to go through with the ball.
I'd
be frustrated, and then what are you about to say? What's sad about it?
What's sad about that is, to me, the Sixers are like just having a star player away. Like, they have all the pieces in place. That they have young guys that hustle, a couple veterans. Like, they have some defenders, but they have not one go-to guy, so to speak. I mean, I know you guys hate Iggy. I think Iggy's a solid player, but he's definitely not a go-to guy. They have no go-to guy. They need
Iggy got 9 points in 2 games. Now, he
did.
Iggy bashing, y'all. Okay,
so
does that mean that he has
Sixers
to average 4 points because he sticks LeBron?
No, he's
I understand that because, I mean, you look at Kobe last night, right? He exuded a lot of energy sticking Chris Paul. So I do understand that. But all I'm saying
is... But at the end of the day, he has players around him that can step up.
Iguodala just frustrates me. I'm going to leave it at that. Brand, all them guys. Brand, Thaddeus. Thaddeus is a weird, quirky dude. Like, he's good, but he's weird. His game is weird because it comes from, like, hustle combined with athleticism combined with the left-handed quirkiness. It's like he just has a bunch of different things,
skill,
but it's not consistent,
skill level,
though.
His skill level hasn't developed, and he's not really consistent. He'll go through spurts where you're like, damn, Thad, the best player on the court, and then he'll do something boneheaded and disappear for a while. Yo, but why is Evan Turdner guarding Dwayne Wade? Because it's embarrassing.
It looks like
Dwayne Wade is shooting at his feet.
Yo, hold on real quick. 202, somebody had tried to call in and they hung up, though. 202, call back. We'll get to you as soon as you call back. But, yo, that play looked like
that
Evan Turner was like, he looked like a dog that was chasing his tail.
Who started with Evan Turner? Because now Jimmy just going to start ramming on the ball, man. Like, I know he doesn't give us any reason to believe he's going to be good, but I just don't write him off yet. But that play, right? Yo, it looked like he was running away from Dwayne Wade at one time. Like, Dwayne Wade said, get off! And, like, screamed at him and made him run.
Yo,
and then he tried to come back, and that's when Dwayne Wade hit the J. He ran into somebody. He ran into another defender from the Sixers. I don't know if it was Brand or Space, somebody. He ran into somebody trying to find out. He couldn't find where Dwayne Wade was. He put an APB out on him off the one move. I said, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Young
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
that series is painful for me, fam.
Sweet Lou will give you buckets, but he's a defensive liability, and you can't start him and Drew in the same backcourt.
Right.
I mean, the bottom line is they just don't.
They're overmatched.
I mean, the bottom line is they're overmatched. That's just the bottom line with all of it.
But what about Elton Brand, though? Elton Brand is back.
Yeah, all right. What do you have, 14
yeah.
game? Back to what, though? Back to what? What's he back to?
Yeah.
Is Elton
Mike,
Brand
really
like, is
sick
El-
this week? What was the problem?
I broke my back. What do you
Yo, like, the thing about it is, like, with Elton Brand, is he going to be the number one option that can lead you, like, you know, get you to the next level? And the thing is, when you look at the team, I don't know how they'll, like, pretty much get there. Like, how are they looking, like, salary-wise? They don't have any money to spend, do they?
No.
I think even next year their money's still tied up. I would have to check, but I'm not
sure. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Even next year they're kind of tied up.
So I don't know, like, what they're
doing. We got Jody Meeks, though.
Damn, what's your point?
Work.
Yeah.
We got a lot of young guys. If you ever watch that team, they make a lot of mental mistakes. And it's funny because you'll see Collins trying to teach the guys, but they just make so many. Would you say so do the Heat?
So do the Heats.
No, they do. But what I'm saying is they make mistakes like very like immature type of mistakes.
I need my homie Drew Holiday. I need him to stop getting punched on though.
Yo, that was
Why did he I mean the Dwight Howard one still like resonates with me. Like I don't know why he even
LeBron just punched him the other night. He tried to like they threw an oop to LeBron. He tried to catch the oop out the air.
He'll jump up and then try to bring his hands down and he jumps in the air and ducks. Like he'd be on his Michael Cooper joint.
He did go to UCLA, so maybe watch some Cooper tapes. You know what I'm saying? He picked that up from his game.
True.
Yo, next series you want to talk about real quick is the Hornets-Lakers series. The Lakers won last night, but the Hornets won game one, as PJ so eloquently put. CP3 came in and took a dump at the Staples Center.
He put some colon cleansers before that game.
Yeah, he took a dookie.
He definitely did. He had a nice little colonic in game one. But what you guys thought in the series overall?
Overall, I don't think he's going to be able to do. Obviously, we saw from last night. I don't think he's going to be able to continue to do that. First and foremost, Derek Fisher, I mean, when we talk about defensive liabilities, I know any of us tomorrow night, 8 to 9 p.m., if we were to lace up and have to play Derek Fisher one-on-one for money,
you cool.
We'd be leaving with fat pockets. We cool. We straight.
Yeah.
We straight. No more in the game.
I've been saying for the last decade that I'm better than Derek
Fisher. Yeah, I know.
Fisher,
I know. You preach that. I feel like you say that every Lakers game, guys.
Yo, he's there for what? He
might as well put roller skates on. He might as well lace up roller skates instead of sneaks.
He's there for one reason. My man draws a lot of charges, and he hits big shots.
Yo, he came down the lane last night, like the second play of the game, wide open, blew past everybody, up in the air, clear layup,
He got the Eric Snows when it comes to layups, but he shoots better from like the three than he does the layups. Homie does blow an exotic amount of layups for an NBA player. I will say that.
What's your thoughts on the series overall, Austin?
I think that Chris Paul's competitiveness kind of wears off on his teammates, and it makes them go hard. I think they're pretty well coached, but I think at the end of the day, they're overmatched because think about this. Powell is playing like, he's Chris Bosh's little surrogate sister. And Kobe was so concerned with getting his Olympics on and not scoring and just locking Chris Paul up that you had maybe what? I think combined they had like 19 points, 11 points from Kobe,
19.
9 from Paul, and you still get a decisive victory. I think the Lakers have a problem.
If you watch that game one, these cats really get bored. Like they take it too far though. Like that whole like turn it on and off. Like they take it too far. Yo, they weren't even getting back on defense in game one. Like they weren't even running back. I'm like This is an NBA team. They're not even running back on defense. It's like these dudes, it's even hard to explain. Like these dudes are like so arrogant.
But just to kind of finish my point, with Bynum, what people don't realize is you have somebody that truly, I believe this, he's capable of being a 20-point-per-game scorer. And then you got Ron Artest, as awkward and ugly as his game is, he's so strong and athletic. If you need buckets out of him, he can give you buckets. They can get scoring from other places, even other than Kobe and Powell. Yo, I think the Hornets are just overmatched. They can't.
Yeah.
They're too tall. And then you got Lamb. Yo, they overmatched.
Gray got hurt.
Gray
got hurt. That was a big loss for them, for the Hornets.
He played last night,
David
though.
David West?
Well, no.
Gray
was hurt.
He said Gray. But Gray played last night.
Hampered.
Didn't matter.
Well, no, he was hampered with a bad ankle injury where he became like a game-time decision, and they thought he wasn't going to play. But
The thing about it is, yo, these dudes, like, are so arrogant, that's going to catch up with them. You can be arrogant like that when you're playing the Hornets, especially without David West. But try to be arrogant like that when you play Oklahoma City, you're going to be in trouble, yo. Like, even your man Lamb said it. Like, yo, Lamb was like, look, we have a problem that, you know, we think that we're so good that a lot of times they just, like, go through the motions. It's like they're bored.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like the great poets, the clip said, man, cocky something that I just can't help. Yo, and that's how they are. That's what they remind me of. Shout out to my man Pusha T. Yo, that's what they remind me of, because they just, like, go through the motions some games. Like, how do you not get back on defense and you're in the playoffs, cuz? That's like the playoffs ain't start yet. Anyway, that's my rant on them. But in terms of Chris Paul, you're right. He does have that, like,
he
wants
it,
yo.
He got the eye of the tiger.
And you're right. It's rubbing off on his teammates. Jared Jack was going crazy last night, like screaming at his teammates.
Jared Jack has a personal vendetta against the backup point guard boy. Who the white boy watcher?
Something like, Blake.
Blake, yeah. Because Blake came to Portland and took his job. And so he got like a personal vendetta against dude. And
okay.
Blake had six assists.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. So overall, everybody thinks that they're overmatched. Doc Bay, what you got to say about this whole series?
Yo, I think we still on the Lakers, right? Lakers and the Spurs. I think the Lakers are winning six. I think this gave them the momentum that they needed. Game one, I mean, was kind of Chris Paul took a dump, kind of like how the Spurs lost to the Grizzlies. So I actually see the Spurs and the Lakers winning in six games. Now, shout out to my cousin Kermit Brown, who said stop hating on the Spurs on Facebook. But I see the Lakers taking this.
Yo, okay, so that's what's up. So you see the Lakers taking it. Next series, real quick, let's talk about your man Mellow Man Ace, Staten Mellow, over in the Knicks and Celtics series. Celtics won both games. They came down to the wire, and the Knicks like looked dysfunctional coming down the stretch. That's coaching. But anyway, what's your guys' opinions on this Knicks-Celtics series? How you see this going?
Yo, in that last game, all I got to say is this. Carmelo was playing with Ray Chu and the crew. Because them dudes that was on that court, yo, I got Chester High beating them, minus Carmelo. Chester High will beat them dudes on that Melo was playing with. And
oh,
it's almost a situation. And then the bad part about it is they was in the game until the end. So Jared Jeffries became Jared Jeffries.
Yo, what was
and
he doing?
I
don't want to
blame the whole
joint
on him.
That play, though.
Right. But here's the thing. That, on that play, like, the defense, the double did run at Carmelo. So, I mean, the smart basketball play was to throw it down to Jeffries, who was essentially on the block and was
garbage
open at the time. Yeah, he is trash. Yo, he is trash truck. But anyway, why did he try to make the extra pass? Like, I mean, if anything, jumping to KG, get a foul, try to lay it up. But,
yo,
like,
he could have got
so
a foul,
soft,
yo.
And weak and corny looking with his hair cut and everything about him is horrible. So that ain't got nothing to do with it. But honestly, I don't think – it depends. See, now that the Knicks are beat up, and I don't know if – I think Chauncey's supposed to play, or is it Amari that's supposed to play. There's a good chance he's playing, and Chauncey is still kind of up in the air, or vice versa. But
yeah, I think Melo might go for 50.
Right. No. So, but I still think I don't think that's enough. That's my point.
Yo, your man Rondo came back to life. Rondo like stopped crying over his boyfriend and came back to life. Yo, and that was crazy.
He had like 20 points in the first quarter. He was layup drill.
When Rondo makes his jump shot, he looks like the best player in the league. Yo,
yeah, but that's one every 12 games.
He makes his jump shot
one every 15 games though.
That's the problem. When he's making his jump shot, though, yo, homie straight looks like the best
player
in the league.
He's a high energy player, cuz. He's a high energy player. His decision making,
He be plucking cats. He goes to the hole. Yo, but what was dude doing sticking? Cuz dude was like 16 feet away from
him. Dude was a matador, cuz. He was, why? I mean, you know he ain't going to shoot a J. Now, granted, sometimes, like you said, when his J is on. It's funny because I think it was D'Antoni was saying, yo, going into the series, he said Rayon Rondo is going to be shooting wide-open jump shots if he wants. He'll have all the jump shots he needs to shoot to even improve his jumper because we ain't going to stick him. You know, we're going to give him that shot. We're just going to compact the defense and step back a little bit, give him that.
And the crazy part is watching this series.
It's amazing
Paul
that you play a point guard like that. Hmm?
Yeah, Paul Pierce hasn't really done anything, in my opinion, as of yet. So, like, he's still waiting, like, you know, Ray Allen got his game winner, KG got his game winner, and Paul really didn't get off yet. So, they in trouble.
Yeah. I think the Knicks are overmatched. Austin, what you got?
There's
no problem. There's no problems in New York for Boston.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's that simple, huh?
Yeah, it's really – I mean, Melo, first of all, in order for Melo to – get off like that, it's kind of like, okay, Chauncey's out, Stat's out, so now I can gun, and I'm a good enough player, I'm a great enough player that there are times when I gun, and I'm going to get on, and he was just on. But they're not going to win.
Yo, but the thing is, Melo played so well. He was making the right passes, too. Like, Melo was like, setting cats up. Melo was making his teammates best. That's one of the best games I've ever seen Melo play. Ever.
Right.
Yo, and yeah, within a Magic Johnson rookie year against the Sixers in the playoffs type games with Magic plays.
Put like this,
yeah, like
they,
42,
if they,
like,
if they,
if
they won that game.
Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
If they would have won that game, that would have went down to like a historical game, like a pivotal game in his career.
Yeah,
because
he was getting it in.
Doc Bay, what you got on this, Doc Bay?
Yo, I mean, like I said, I still expect the Celtics to win probably in six. I think I said six games. Melo's game, he did everything that you could have asked of him to do. I just think they might have been missing Chauncey down the stretch. They hit a couple of big shots when they started doubling Melo.
Yo, they sucked down the stretch both games.
Jeffrey should not be on the floor in anybody's clutch. Like, not even in the NCAA tournament clutch right now.
Yo, the Boston double of Melo was embarrassing. Like, it was a slap in the face of the Knicks. Yo, they straight was like, yo, just go ahead and double him 24 feet from the basket. Don't worry about whoever you're checking.
They doubled him at half court.
Yo, they will triple team him and leave them other bums wide open. They will triple him. Say, look, we're going to commit to Melo.
They looked at Jared Jeffrey.
What the hell is that?
He said, yo, just leave Jeffrey's open. Doc Rivers said, yo, just leave Jeffrey's open, yo. Who are we going to double from? Whoever Jeffrey's at.
He messed it up. Look at his haircut.
So bad, yo. He's so bad. He doesn't even have a position.
Jeffrey's game definitely stinks. Jeffrey's game smells like ceiling fan dust. In his defense,
in Jared Jeffrey's defense, he does all the little things on the court that don't show up in the box score and on the court.
Shout out to my boy. Hold up.
I said he does all the things that doesn't show up in the box score or on the court. So all the things he does, you just don't see it.
Yo. Harold? Yo, next series. The Blazers and the Mavericks. Now, this one, Mavericks, yo, first off, my man Jason Kidd got his noni juice because Jason Kidd is playing out of his mind. It's like he's back at Cal right now. So, I had no clue that Jay Kidd would be balling like this. Yo, Jay Kidd is like he's killing my man basic game, Andre Miller.
Yeah.
Yo, I gotta say, I'm shocked.
I'm shocked. I'm presently shocked that, one, Dirk was as a coming through in the fourth and that they're up 2-0. Like, I really expected Portland to handle it, at least still one game. But, yo, the whole Brandon Roy crying thing, that's whack, man. I mean, he didn't cry, but, you know, even saying that right now, being down two games, keep that to yourself. But, yeah, Jason Kidd is balling out of his mind.
For those out there who don't know, tell them what happened with your man Brandon Roy.
Yo, Brandon Roy, he's sitting on the bench, and he only played 8 minutes that game. And then he said to himself after the game, yo, man, like, I'm really feeling sorry for myself. And, yo, I felt like crying. Then I had to tell myself, man, nah, you can't cry, man.
Deep down in my heart.
The worst cry ever.
For real. And then he was to say, like, yo, my thing, though, he was like, yeah, I thought they would have treated me better than this, and I thought I'd have been treated. And I'm like, yo, dude, you don't have any knees. They're putting you out on the court out of kind of like pity. They signed them to a big old contract when the organization was like, yo, he has a history of knee problems. We should have signed him to like a near max deal, but they did that anyway. So my thing, just shut up and be grateful, man.
He may be able to muster up something offensively in spurts, but defensively you're a liability every time down the court. So.
Yo, we got a call online, yo. Let's take this call real quick, yo. Hold on 1 second. Let me see. Is that 202-459? You're in the war room. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Okay. 202-459?
Good brothers. That's not a caller.
I will forget that one. Anyway, let's move on, though. But nobody mentioned anything about J. Kidd, though.
Yeah, J. Kidd, you're right. He known he juiced it up, I think. I mean, he is making a big difference, cuz. I mean, you know, you never really know. When you get an older player like that, you never really know what you're going to get out of them. You don't expect too much. You're thinking that their better days are behind them. And then when they come out like he's come out, it's like, damn. Like, he's a big factor in the series. I would say between him and your favorite player, Nowitzki.
I've always been critical of Dirk, but when you produce, I've got to give you your credit. And he, like,
yeah, Dirk,
yo.
Dirk can play. Everybody that has been around Dirk says, honestly, he's a legitimate 7 feet. So when he does play, like he's playing in this series right now, you look at him and you're like, wow, like dude is, you don't want to, he's very difficult to stop. Because anybody that's that tall that can shoot is always going to be hard to, he can shoot over pretty much everybody that's going to be out there. With the ability to stay with him out on the perimeter, that's his size. So he can be, Dirk can be mean, man. He could be a machine when he wants
to be. Come on, mean.
And
that's that old head talk. He could be mean.
Nah, but I mean, when he wants to be, and now he's playing like he is. And we'll see as they advance, because I believe they're going to win that series. As they advance in the playoffs, if he keeps this up. But right now, he's at his best. He's at his best
credit
now. So we've seen him.
I want to give credit to your man. Your man Tyson Chandler, yo. Because Tyson Chandler, like, I've never seen a Mavericks team play defense like this. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of it is due to him. And also, your man be out there trying to play D2, Austin, the guy who's a legitimate option, Deshaun Stevenson.
Yeah, when they go Kidd, Stevenson, Marion, Dirk, and Chandler, they have a pretty good defensive lineup out there.
When they go with
those four. Yeah.
Definitely. And, yo, Jason Kidd is so crafty. It's like, yo, he's another high basketball IQ guy. Like, it seems like he sees things before they happen, and, like, he's an old head, but it's sort of like you ever been in the playground, you see somebody that's, like, just completely athletic, and they get dominated by somebody who has no athleticism but is, like, just smarter than him. And that's how Kidd is at this stage of his career. It's like all these young point guards are, like, faster than him, but he's so crafty that he's still able to, like, compete. He damn near 40 years old.
Yeah, he's shooting threes, and he's like,
Yeah, real talk. So, I mean, Dallas is going to be a tough out if they keep playing this way. Now, Portland's going back home, so you never know. They have a great home crowd, and they're a very good home team. So we'll see what happens with that. here, you guys. Let's see what you guys got to say about this series. Hawks and Magic.
What? Hold on. J-Kid, Hawks and Magic? Go ahead. My bad, brother. Go ahead.
Hawks and Magic. What you got on Hawks and Magic?
I really don't. Oh, you got the Hawks, D. Austin. I have no idea, and that series is boring for some reason. It's really boring. That's all I got to say.
It is boring. I think that was one that we even thought, I think before the playoffs started, we thought that had a propensity to be a little bit dry. It's interesting. Obviously, D. Howard, especially game one, dominated on his, like, Wilt Chamberlain type, on some Wilt Chamberlain type stuff. But to no avail. It's almost as if the Hawks were like, all right, well, we'll let Dwight get off and do his thing, and we'll just, you know, guard the perimeter hard and make sure that nobody else kills us, even though Jameer tried to do his thing. I mean, and then in game two,
all the series, that joint is completely boring. Like, I still want to know how did Joe Johnson get a max deal? Can anybody tell this to me, yo? Who's his agent?
I've had that argument on Facebook.
Jamal Crawford. Hey, Brad, your little cousin was hurting them in game one, though. Jamal Crawford.
Yeah,
he contributed a lot to that win, man. I think he might have been the leading scorer that night for the Hawks. Because in that game one, I think they had, like, six people in double figures.
Joe Johnson is represented by Maverick Carter or something, man. Because, how he get a max deal? But on another note, Brad, I got a question specifically for you, B. Austin. Your boy, your cousin, what happened to your man Gilbert's game?
Let me first go back to my younger cousin, Jamal Crawford. If he was 10 pounds lighter, 10 pounds heavier and an inch taller, Joe Johnson would have got like 5 pennies. Because Jamal Crawford is that dude on offense. He's just a D.
Talk about your other
favorite
player, your other cousin.
My other cousin, Gilbert.
You used to defend him to the death.
I don't know what the deal is. It's like he's not, I don't know whether it's the knee or.
It's like Doesn't he look like he's an old head now or something, though?
Yeah,
when
I watch him,
he looks
like he don't want to play. He
looks
like he don't even
want to
play.
When I watch him play, I think Anthony Johnson's still out there.
He looks like he don't want to play
Anthony
anymore. Kill, what's your theory on your man Gilbert, yo? Because, Gilbert is looking horrible out there.
He had like three years worth of knee surgery. So I don't know how much athleticism that took from him. And now he's in a position where he can't dominate the basketball. I mean, Jameer's going to dominate the basketball. Hedo has to dominate the basketball. Jay Rich has to get the rock. Howard has to get the rock. So, and I think that's a problem with the Magic. They don't know which group or which guy. Who'd you say?
JJ Redneck.
It's theoretic. So it's like, I think Van Gundy has a problem where who's going to be my auxiliary guy. So I think that's the problem the Magic have. That's why we see them play good some nights and they play like crap some nights.
But I think it's something else, yo. When you watch the Bull play, he looks like he's not even interested anymore. He looks like he'd rather be somewhere else.
Then he can serve with papers. Then he can serve with like divorce or child support papers at a game.
Shaq tapped his snappy nappy dugout, so now like he don't know what to do no more. It's something personal going on with the ball, man.
She moved all the stuff out of his house and sold it after she was being Shaq's receptacle.
Let me come over.
When can I come over and put it in?
Yeah, Shaq was disrespecting his BM, and that turned, not even joking, ever since that whole, rumor about that happening, his game is like, how can that not affect you, though?
Then he got suspended for,
when he came back, he said he was considering retirement.
Before we run out of time, Nuggets and Thunder. Thunder is like, up 2-0, even though they got a gift in game one. But, PJ, you said you had something you want to say about Brad's favorite player, Kendrick Perkins.
Oh, yeah, about Perkins. I heard on the Four Letters today that they did a poll on NBA players and asked them who do they think. The poll was basically asking who had the most delusions of grandeur in terms of their performance. Like, what player thinks that they're actually better than they really are? And apparently, going away, it was the other NBA players voted Kendrick Perkins. So he said, now, I don't know what that all means. Like, I don't know what else went into it, but that's what they said. They said it was Kendrick Perkins was the guy that
those
players
called. I know that. My
that,
man Scotty Brooks.
He thought he was better than him.
Yo, my man Scotty Brooks, a young cat's ball for him. But, yo, Scotty Brooks said that he loves Kendrick Perkins because Kendrick Perkins doesn't like anybody in the league and nobody in the league likes him. And, you know, that may have something to do with it. But his offensive game is so atrocious. They played last night. He tried this post move. My man switched pivots like six times, got called for traveling, and looked at the ref like the ref was crazy.
Yo, Kendrick Perkins has not one basketball skill. His skill comes from poverty. He got poverty skills. Like that just the mean face. You know how the mean face, like that greasy grill, the like Royal Rumble and
yo,
you know, talking a lot of trash.
Yo, he's a
the thing he brings to
Dark and Jermaine, man. He's a 7 foot
the
dark.
The thing that he brings to the basketball team have nothing to do with basketball.
Like
he's like one of the best players.
Hey,
like,
he doesn't bring Ben Coleman. He like Ben Coleman from the Sixers in the '80s.
You know, go out there and
Exactly. But it's funny because even like we talked about it and Dev mentioned it before, it's a lot of people because when you hear people talk, they all talk about how much a difference he's making on the basketball team.
Yo,
I mean,
my man Rondo went through depression.
I don't see it that much, though. I know, but I think
Rondo
that's because his homie and Rondo's soft. I don't think it's because he felt like his team was going to go in shambles because he left. I mean, Kendrick Perkins is not a good basketball player. Let's just say that. He's not a good basketball player. But
yo,
the thing that he brings to the team,
he's a
personality to the team. A goon, right.
Yeah,
so
he's one of John Chaney's
goon.
He's the kind of cast that John Chaney love on his team, man.
That's
just
the one that John Chaney said he was
going
to put out on the court.
When Kendrick Perkins came back and played for the Thunder, right, he only played a couple games in the regular season in a playoff game because he was hurt. Yo, homie's been in the – he's been in close to, like, eight rumbles already, and he ain't even played eight games.
And he
what's going to happen if somebody just knocked out?
We got a caller on the line.
We got a call?
240.
Oh, yeah, we got to hurry up with this. We run out of time. Let's take it real quick.
I just wanted to say –
Wait,
hello,
what's
fellas.
What's up?
Who's this? Where you calling
Jimmy?
From?
Man, this is Kevin calling from Maryland.
What's up,
Kevin? We getting ready to go off air, but tell us real quick what you had to say.
I just want to say hello. Y'all doing a good thing, man. I love y'all. I can't wait to see y'all in the cabin next me. And keep it up, man.
Oh, shout out to you, homie.
Oh, this is Kevin from the cabin?
Yeah, this is Kevin from the cabin.
Yes,
shout out to you, homie.
Yo, what's up?
I want to give you props because you're a legitimate Wizards fan who owns season tickets, and you're the first person I ever met in my life to own season tickets to a Wizards game. So props to you. By the time they win a chip in 60 years, you know what I mean? You know, you could be good. You'd be set like that.
Hey, we don't win one before Philly, though, baby. Get with me.
We get some static on the line. I think your phone breaking up, Cass.
Get with me.
Thanks for the call, bro. Yo, but back to your point, PJ. My man Perkins, man. Like, yo.
Yeah, he brings intangibles.
Like
he brings, like, an ugly face and, like, mean and little lips and, like, a green,
ugly
like,
face.
a little lip.
Yo, he's been in more
rumbles
than point. He's been in more rumbles than point score.
Yo, but my point is this. Yo, what if he gets knocked out? Will he be out the NBA? Like, what if he say he gets into a tussle and somebody just knock him out so all that toughness goes away and
that's
they got to, like, wake him up to get him off the ground.
Yo,
is he just done? Let's get us out. Everybody, thanks for joining us in the war room this evening, man. We enjoyed you joining tonight's show. We hope you enjoyed it. Special thanks to the callers and the chat room participants who added to the show tonight. Check us out next week, same time, same place, for another great episode of The War Room. We'll be analyzing the first round of the NFL draft as it happens. So be sure to tune in next week and every week. You don't want to miss it. Have a great evening watching the NBA playoffs. And until next week, everybody, we are.
will
holla. Like snow, we don't just shine, we illuminate the whole show. You feel me? Factions from the other side would love to kill me. Spill 3 quarts of my blood into the street, let alone the heat. Fuck him, hate a nigga loving his life in all possible ways. Know the feds is bugging my life. Hospital days reflecting when my man laid up on the uptown high block. He got his side sprayed up. I saw his life slipping. This is a minor setback. You're still in all we living. Just dream about to get back. That made him smile, though his eyes said, pray for me. I do you one veteran, slay these niggas faithfully. Murder is a tough thing to digest. It's a slow process. And I ain't got nothing but time. I had near brushes, not to mention 3 shots, close range, never touched me. Divine intervention, can't stop by from drinking my ties with Tata down in Nevada. Ha ha, bye bye. Word life, I dabbled in crazy weight. Without rap, I was crazy straight. Potting, I'm still spending money from 88. What? I make you and your whack man fold like bad hands, roll like Monopoly. Advance, you copy me like white crystal. I gross the most at the end of the fiscal year than these niggas could wish to. The dead presidential candidate with the sprinkles in the presidential ice that'll offend you. In due time, when crime flees my mind, all sneak thieves and player haters can shine. But until then, I keep the trillion cut diamond shining brilliant. I tell you half the story, the rest you fill it in. Long as the villain wins, I spend Japan yen to 10 major events. Catch me in the joint, convince my iguanas is biting. J-A-Y hyphen, controlling, manipulating. I got a good life, man. Pounds and pence, enough dollars make sense. Why you ride the bench? Catch me swinging for the fence, dead presidents, you know.